I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast. Presented by Allied Home Security.
Well, he found something there. Fair down the line. Into the corner, and Altuve starts the night with a double. Jammed. It'll score a run, and a safe all around. 2-1 Houston here in the second. Left side, base hit. Here comes Gurriel. He'll score. Going to third with nobody there is Siri. He pops up, comes to the plate. 2-run score. 4-1. Astros on top. And that's into left. Altuve's got another. 2-2 pitch. That's it. Astros take game two.
There you go. With Tears for Fears, everybody wants to rule the world playing underneath it. I don't know if that was intentional, Ben Gary, but good job by you. That was your highlight montage. Game two in the books. Astros win 7-2. Series tied at 1. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. We'll take a look at the Payne and Pendergast Voodoo Hex poll in just a second, who to get in game three. But let's recap the game from last night. Last night, the big story last night, the story of the three Jose's. We will start with the Jose on the mound, Urquidy, who coming into this game, not a good postseason so far for Jose Urquidy, but he went back and got some of that 2019 Game 4 of the World Series mojo, and he pitched pretty well last night. Two runs through five innings. Here was Dusty Baker on Jose Urquidy's performance last night.
He started out fast, I mean real fast, and we knew we had to take a, you know, keep a close eye on him because he's really still just getting into shape, you know, because he was out a long time in between starts. And so we knew that we had to watch him around 75 to, you know, to 80 pitches.
All right, so final pitch count was 74 pitches, 55 strikes for Jose Urquidy.
Yeah.
That was the big thing. Wasn't getting behind in counts, didn't walk anybody. 7 strikeouts, no walks, so he wasn't hurting himself. 11 strikeouts, no walks now across 3 different World Series appearances for Jose Urquidy, the new Mr. October.
And I can't remember the graphic they had put up for total number of strikeouts in a World Series, but he's up there by Astros for Astros number of strikeouts. It did strike me. I was thinking about last night when Urquidy had gotten up to like 6 strikeouts at one point. Do you remember, man, that year in 2019 when it was like, it was kind of a non-story unless somebody threw 11 or 12 strikeouts in a game because you had Verlander, Cole, McCullers. Like, it was just absurd. There's so many things about this team that are less, it's less headline grabbing and yet more complete. It's a more complete baseball team in some respects, but without kind of just like the smashing power either in the pitching or the hitting. It's just more consistent throughout, and that's what Urquidy was. I thought that Maldonado did a really good job with that strike zone. It was a generous strike zone last night, and I think that both pitchers were working with the same strike zone.
Yep.
I think that Maldonado did a really good job kind of framing things and utilizing the entire strike zone and managing Urquidy really well. Urquidy, the best thing about Urquidy, Sean, by far, 100%, is his pace. There's nothing more refreshing than after you've been sitting through a bunch of 5-hour playoff baseball games than to have Urquidy get up there and just mow people down one after the other with just Maldonado, tell me what to do. Okay, here we go. Boom, boom, boom.
He is a morning host best friend. Jose Urquidy. Game was over by like 10:15. It was great. So that's one Jose Urquidy, really good, and gives me confidence that if this thing gets to six games, that Jose Urquidy at home, he would be at home again in game six, is going to give you a similar outing. It's just what he does in the World Series. Next Jose was Jose Siri, who got the start in center field last night. Jose Siri was right in the middle of the rally that really won the game for the Astros, a four-run rally in the second inning where they didn't really hit the ball all that hard. It was a bunch of base hits, a lot of ground balls. I was a little surprised on some of the shifts they were using, especially on Yuli Gurriel. Like that they loaded the left side of the infield against Yuli. Like, have you watched him? He shoots the ball all over the place.
That was, did you notice after the one foul to right field? I can't remember if it was Brantley or Yuli. But Jock Peterson like was checking his shift in his hat, checking his little shift placard in his hat afterwards, because it was those two guys were just spraying it all over the place and just showing that they could do whatever the hell they wanted to do against the shift. And if you're an anti shift person, I think you look at those two guys last night and say like, well, look, why bother with these guys?
Yep.
The problem is that even if you don't, the problem now is that the shift has become so prevalent that if you were to say, like, okay, don't use the shift, they can make you pay even harder versus that, because then they get to choose to go to their strengths and hit directionally.
Absolutely. So it was a lot of base hits. Jose Siri was the one who probably had the most memorable moments in that rally, the infield single that drove home a run, and then, of course, coming all the way around to score when the Braves had just a brain fart. There was nobody covering third base. Ball rolls to the backstop. Siri comes all the way around. Siri's speed was a game changer last night, said Dusty Baker.
The speed makes you do things that you wouldn't normally do. Makes you rush. It puts pressure on the opposition where you have to catch it cleanly and throw it and have somebody catch it cleanly on the other side. And, you know, that was some exciting stuff that Siri did. And, I always tell him he reminds me of Cesar Cedeño. I mean, the fact that he can appear out and in some kind of way be safe. And, you know, you got to be – you got to calculate it, but you got to be daring, and you can't be afraid of making mistakes.
Someone texted in, can you imagine this team with Springer? It's fun to think about, but then we wouldn't have Jose Siri in our lives today. At least for this one day, if we had, you know.
Yeah, there's something about Jose Siri's energy that those guys fuel off. And I almost wonder if Jose Siri's energy is more appreciated by the Astros because they've played with Springer. That there is probably, I mean, there is, it's not bad, it's not good, it's just different. You know, like, there's a different kind of energy to this team, which was bound to happen. Back in 2017, they were youthful, they were innocent, like, they didn't, you know, like, everything was new. And the dugout celebrations were incredible. And then over time, everybody got mature. And I do wonder, like, if maybe Jose Siri, even though he is 27 years old, he's kind of got the spirit of a kid. I wonder if that little bit of extra energy reminds him of Springer in a very good way.
Maybe. I think the big difference, we'll get to Jose Altuve here in a second to close out our Jose's. To me, the big difference with this team, I think you touched on it just a moment ago, where you know, the Verlander-Cole element in the rotation, and then just the sheer tour de force with Springer at the top of the order, Bregman being a runner-up for MVP. You're talking about 240 home run guys before you even get to the cleanup spot. You had Jordan winning the Rookie of the Year that year. Like, Jordan was good this year. When he came up as a rookie, he was next level. He was great, and I expect him to get back to that here as he continues to grow as a player. But it's almost like this team is just like a really efficient factory. It just manufactures things. I thought that second inning was very emblematic of what this team has become, which is, you know, they don't make as much nearly as much intimidating contact as they used to make back in the 2017 through 2019. They're just it's not as much highlight reel stuff, but you look up and they've sent eight guys to the plate and there's five runs on the board, that kind of thing. They're just very efficient. They make a ton of contact. They put the ball in play, and they've just got to be a pain in the ass to play against. And I think the pitching staff is similar. Like, I'll just put it this way. They're piecing a lot more stuff together. They're having to cobble a lot more stuff together with this team. I think it's more impressive watching them do it this way than it is just to watch them plunder you with just like over the top talent.
There is. I mean, yeah, there's an element to this where it gives you more hope for the future about any kind of window closing or what have
Correct.
You. Because they will, like, it feels more like, okay, they've got different ways to get it done without necessarily having a Cy Young candidate, without necessarily having a home run leader or what have you. And it just feels more complete. Like, and not that we, like, I really don't even want to think about that all that much right now. I do want to, like, I want to think about Zach Greinke, perhaps maybe having his moment. All these different pitchers have had their moments in the postseason now where they've been able to surpass expectations. Mm-hmm. And Greinke going to a National League ballpark
Ooh.
Where Greinke can freaking hit. Like, Greinke needs to go as many innings as possible, not for the good of the team, Sean, but for the good of his own batting staff.
Yes.
Like he actually just make it two times through the order. And I'm not talking about the batters he's facing. I want him as a batter to make it two times
through the order. To bat twice? That's great. That is great. The third Jose, here's Jose Altuve on this team's playoff experience.
Nothing is easy in baseball, especially in playoff, but when you've been in situations before, you know how to handle it, you know. You know, I know what my team is capable to do, to win three in a row, to come back from things that we don't want, like situations we don't want to be, but we overcome those situations with kid playing. You know, I think the key is nobody in the room is thinking about being the hero, or thinking about hitting 300 or whatever in playoff. We just want to win. You know, we are rooting for each other. And I think that's the way we play tonight, and you saw the result. It was a good one for us.
Okay, so that's Jose Altuve. Jose Altuve had one more exchange that was highly entertaining. This is following the game going on with the guys on Fox.
Jose, we were talking Alex here. We were talking last night. You striking out twice looking is so unusual for you. Tonight.
Yeah, but it's Charlie Morton.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's fair. That's fair.
You're right.
That's a fair point.
I love that.
Hey, man, Charlie Morton. Altuve has so many like signature moments with some of his quotes. Like I literally love Justin Verlander.
Yes,
he's got a way of like succinctly capturing everything that people love about Jose Altuve.
Yes,
it's and without trying to do that whatsoever, he's an incredibly unique gem of a person.
He's amazing.
Yep. He is. God, what's it going to be like if Correa leaves, Seth? Like, what? I mean, Verlander was a short-time teammate, relatively speaking. You know, Charlie Morton was a pitcher. Like, Correa is like his brother. Boy, I can only imagine this. That's going to be an emotional time for Jose Altuve with no Carlos Correa. If it happened, you know what? You're right. Let's not think about this right now. We got game three.
Maybe, look, if what? How much? Okay. Are there dollars attached to Carlos Correa's performance in the World Series?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
I feel like most teams that are willing to spend a lot of money on Carlos Correa have already made their decision about Carlos Correa. You think that there might be somebody out there that's going to be moved so much by if Carlos Correa becomes the MVP of the World Series over these next several games?
Yeah, now that I think about it. No, I was thinking the other way. As I've been watching him struggle, I'm thinking the other direction. As I've watched him struggle, I'm like, okay, I wonder if teams are maybe hitting pause on $320 million over 10 years, watching him struggle really since the very beginning of the ALCS. You know, like it's...
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's where I wonder. That might be more valid. That might be... I feel like as analytical as everything is, people still get emotional about the postseason. And if they're making a little bit of an emotional post decision about the postseason, like somebody, whether it's the Yankees or anybody else that thinks like, okay, we need this guy to get us over the top, and this is that extra little something that's worth it, then yeah, they might be equally emotional and scared out of making that decision if Carlos Correa doesn't do well in the World
Series. Yeah, and he's done everything. Look, I don't want to turn this into like, you know, downplaying Carlos Correa. You know, He's in the middle. He's been in the middle of a lineup of like six or seven great hitters for 5 or 6 years now. You know, if you're a team that's making him the focal point of your team, that makes a difference too. We'll talk about that when the playoffs are over. This is about the most even poll we've ever put up, Seth.
Really?
This poll for who should be hexed, Freddie Freeman is leading right now at 28%. Rosario 22%. Ian Anderson, 25%. Ozzie Albies, 25%. Everybody's within like 3 or 4% of each other. This is crazy. Go to my Twitter timeline, at Sean T. Pendergast. Pick out who we are voodoo hexing tomorrow for Game 3. All right, up next, Texans. If this was the reaction to one trade, I would suggest buckling up for this coming weekend if you're a Texan fan. That's next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Darren Revelle joins us at the bottom of the hour. The Texans traded Mark Ingram yesterday to the Saints, reportedly for a swap of late-round picks.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, it's on, baby. The trade deadline's
I hate
here.
The swap.
It's
the
shopping season, baby.
The swap is the least satisfying one.
It is.
Just because it turns out a sixth and a seventh, it might end up, it could work out that you traded, like, you swapped what would be your 31st pick in the fifth round for somebody else's second pick in the sixth round or something. Like, you just never know.
Less satisfying, the pick swap or the player to be named later?
No, player to be named later is okay because that means there's actually a person.
Okay.
Like you're going to find out something's
upset. Yeah, but I got to wait for it. I want immediate gratification.
Well,
it's
never anybody exciting, right? Other than the David Johnson trade where... what did we learn about first? Did we learn about DeAndre or David?
No, we learned that David Johnson. Okay, just to be clear, like a player to be named later trade I'm talking about, like in baseball,
yeah,
where
know.
You get a guy like 3 months later. But yeah. You're just talking about the order that things get reported? No, it was reported that, and this was actually, I think, in Aaron Reese's piece about David Johnson's sort of mental health issues from dealing with being traded for DeAndre Hopkins. Is it part of it was David Johnson sort of found out the same way we all did, which is reports surfacing on Twitter that, hey, David Johnson's been traded to the Texans. Okay, you know, maybe it's a reclamation. Maybe the Texans are getting a pick to take
bastard.
On this contract.
I'm just thinking about David Johnson getting the information in the same order. Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah, because he was probably thinking like, okay, cool. Fresh start. Here we go.
Right.
He's probably thinking like, I bet the Cardinals had to eat some of my salary,
but here we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And then, no, you're traded at full salary, full boat, for DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, that sucks. Oh, man.
I know, he seems like a nice guy.
No, it does. And I, you know, to be fair, I always see a lot of people caping for athletes sometimes where they're saying like, hey, don't take it out on David Johnson that it was a bad trade. For the most part, I don't think people are. Like, people don't blame David Johnson for the David Johnson trade. Are there people out there that think that David Johnson is to blame for the David Johnson trade? Of course not. They're mad at Bill O'Brien.
No, but I think they think David Johnson is to blame for not being good at football anymore.
Right, which is two separate. They're two separate issues.
Sure.
Though. Yeah. It's like you can be frustrated for David Johnson catching the ball and then falling down at the line of scrimmage. Whether you traded DeAndre Hopkins for him or not. It's that David Johnson is the vehicle by which you criticize Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
And everything that goes with it.
So yeah. So the reason David Johnson is relevant here is because he will probably be getting, buckle up, Texan fans, more touches on Sunday because Mark Ingram was traded to the Saints, as we just mentioned. This was a deal that got major reaction on social media from current Texan players yesterday. I would say of all the players that reacted to it, the only one that really matters is not Lonnie Johnson or Titus Howard, but probably Brandon Cooks, one of the leaders on the team. I would say unquestionably their best player this season, certainly their most productive player statistically, it's not even close, has been Brandon Cooks. And most importantly, he is a guy who has been, for better or worse, associated with the culture shift going on in the building over there. And he is a he is an FOJ, friend of Jack Easterby. We know that Jack Easterby liked to retweet Brandon Cooks quite a bit, even before Cooks became a Houston Texan. Safe to assume that Brandon Cooks coming here in a trade, that there were probably some Easterby fingerprints on that. Cooks tweeted moments after the Ingram trade was consummated, "This is BS, such a joke." And the tweet has not been taken down. It is still up, so it's not been deleted.
Yeah.
So I think that's notable, actually, that he's left it up, which I guess, Seth, leads us to, man, how bananas are these next 5 days going to get over there?
It's right, exactly, because like, Brandon Cooks was brought in to be the guy who was all that was good and holy in the world of Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby's vision of what a good football player should be in the culture. The culture, Sean, it's all about the culture.
Capital C, so, capital U, yes, exactly.
What happens if the ultimate culture guy is all of a sudden saying that stuff around here is BS? That's it'd be like if your favorite religious leader all of a sudden decided he was a different faith or something.
Right.
Like, what do you do then? You know, some people would be inclined to burn him at the stake if it was Jack Easterby and one of his favorite acolytes turned to the dark arts or something.
Right.
That's what it feels like a little bit here. It feels a little bit like the star pupil has decided to say, oh, you know what? This is all kind of BS. This is bogus.
I got no problem with Brandon Cooks tweeting about this, in part because I think he's earned the right to express his opinion on stuff like this. It's when the Lonnie Johnsons of the world start tweeting yeah. about it, and then he and Titus Howard start going back and forth about it when they could easily text each other these things. They're on Twitter having a conversation back and forth, just openly. Lonnie Johnson, one of the worst second round picks from the 2019 draft so far, is openly questioning the organization on Twitter.
In a tweet that's been deleted,
yeah,
Lonnie Johnson said, "LK that all right." It's spelled Boa, but I hesitate. I don't want to try to read this in the right pronunciation or anything because I think it would sound bad. Yeah. I think it would be a bad thing for me. Okay, yeah. But basically, Lonnie Johnson tweets out what I think he's trying to say is, I know that boy Mark is happy. Free you.
Yeah.
And after some translating there, I'm pretty sure that's what he's saying. So basically, he's free. He's free. He's free of Shawshank. You know, like that, that's a word that sometimes gets tossed around by players who are on bad teams. You talk about how it's you're in Shawshank. And that's what he's saying. My question is, why the hell is David Culley the coach, if not to at least limit guys like Lonnie Johnson from continually spouting off on social
yes!
media about like the team or criticizing the team or cryptically tweeting or what have you? Like, at the very least, if you can't make good game management decisions, if you weren't a highly coveted coach, if you were brought in just to try to steer the ship, well, you went through these ugly moments. Could it be as simple as, at the very least, keeping guys like Lonnie Johnson, who hasn't even proven that he can actually play in the NFL yet, from spouting off on social media?
Oh, yeah, no, it's a great point. I mean, these guys, it seems like their reaction to stuff like this is to, I don't know, Seth, they benched Charles Omenihu, who's expressed a lot of opinions about things on social media. You know, would that be the counterpoint? Like, hey, Charles was tweeting a bunch of things. We sat him down for a couple of games.
I get, you know what? Maybe one of the differences is because, let's see, Charles Omenihu has been made inactive, basically. So kind of benched. Not officially. Not like disciplined bench or anything. He just wasn't made active on game day.
Right.
We've seen Zach Cunningham actually get benched for disciplinary reasons for a quarter.
Well, now he's getting 14 snaps a game, too.
But both those position groups are much deeper than the defensive backfield.
True.
So it might be as simple as that. They
Numbers.
Might be like, yeah, man, Lonnie ain't the one I love, but he's the one I got. And that's what we're going to have to do.
Is there anybody else on this team that could get traded, that would get a similar reaction that Mark Ingram got? Because Mark Ingram got the reaction of, man, this guy was a leader for this team. This guy, I mean, you watch him. I mean, he was getting hit in the backfield every single play and still dragging guys for 2 or 3 yards. He was the one running back who would actually get you ahead of the chains when you handed the ball to him on first down. Phillip Lindsay and David Johnson certainly don't do that. Is there anybody else who could get moved? Like, we know what the big board looks like, Zach Cunningham and Omenihu and Lonnie and thing. Is there anybody else that could get moved that gets a similar reaction to Mark Ingram?
I guess a similar reaction from the players, you mean?
Yeah.
Because I think the fan base is kind of split on this. There's some people that are holding on to the hopes that they just want to watch Texans competitive football. There's others that are just saying, like, yeah, this is what you're doing. What? You're tanking, you're resetting, so you trade away guys like Mark Ingram. I'm kind of split between both worlds because I like watching at least competitive football on Sundays. The players themselves, especially the guys that are going to be here the entire year, yeah, they'd like to win as many football games as possible. So it's discouraging. If you're a guy that's bought in to all of the stuff that you've been fed about how, no, you guys are better than people say you are, and like, no, we're going to go out there to fight and compete, it's kind of disheartening to guys like Brandon Cooks when you realize, oh, no, that was all just BS.
Right, lip service, guess, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Tyrod Taylor would be a big one.
Yep.
If they traded away Tyrod Taylor, oh gosh, would be bad.
What about Justin Reed?
I think that might be a really big one because I think there'd be two different worlds. A lot of people would say, look, he's probably going to be gone in free agency anyway. He's not sticking around.
Yep.
So why not? And yeah, so I think players, though, would be upset about that.
I think so, too. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Darren Revelle joins us in the next segment. He was the first one I saw report the package of goodies that the person who got Brady's 600 touchdown ball got. This is what a monumental souvenir in the NFL is actually worth. We'll talk about that. We'll get some of Darren Revelle's picks for this weekend as well. Darren Revelle, the Action Network, joins us next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, it is Payne and Pendergast, Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne with you. And before I bring on Darren Revelle, let me make sure I'm equipped with the information that I need, which is the presumably gargantuan double-digit spread of the Texans and the Rams this Sunday at NRG Stadium. Do I have the proper week pulled up here? I thought, there we go. Rams and the Texans. Yeah, 14.5 points. It's just become old hat here to have double-digit spreads even at home as we welcome in Darren Revelle of the Action Network. Download the free Action Network app to get all your lines, track your action throughout the weekend. ActionNetwork.com if you want to get some great content there as well. Hey, Darren, I saw you tweet earlier this week, the dude that got the 600th touchdown ball from Tom Brady. Two signed jerseys and a helmet from Brady. Signed Mike Evans jersey and his game cleats. $1,000 credit at the Buccaneers team store. And then two season tickets for the rest of this season and next season. As a memorabilia expert and aficionado, how do you think this guy did on his bounty that he brought back for the 600th touchdown ball?
I mean, if you don't expect him to be an opportunist, I guess he did okay. But, you know, and post-COVID, he might have not been able to get, or in COVID, I don't know if he would have been able to get the meet and greet with Brady afterwards, which is what you normally would insist upon. Don't forget, Brady threw in a Bitcoin. You know, ooh. But at the time was, you know, $63,000. It's now 61. So he was probably around, you know, $90,000 in value or so.
Okay.
You know, Mike Evans signed jersey might be negative dollars, not game used, but you know, it's not really, and none of the Brady stuff. The only thing that was game used was the cleats. You know, I felt like the guy didn't know it was his 600th, which is fine. I think most people might have not. Obviously, Mike Evans didn't either. I think the deal was done so fast that the Bucs were being opportunists, and then you can't really be opportunists in front of the world, especially when Jim Nance then says it's an awful deal immediately. not only did he not have a choice, he lost his leverage, as Brady pointed out on the Manning cast. But you know, the Bucs, in some way, you know, they had to do something more because you know it was embarrassing the perception of the deal.
Right.
Darren, you know, as we talk about this, it reminds me that man during really like it wasn't even the height of the epidemic as much as it was people going most stir crazy. During the epidemic, that all of this NFT stuff was going absolutely crazy. People buying just electronic representations of things instead of physical things. Where are we right now on the NFT craze?
I guess we're still in the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
Because I would say that a lot of projects have gone down, but the CryptoPunks and the Bored Apes are continuing to crush. Now, I tell people in collecting, the worst thing that happens is if you think something's transparent and it's not. Collecting, any business really, right? Like, oh, you know, StubHub is transparent. Well, no, it's not. There are ticket brokers who figure out, oh, I'm going to put a little more on. I'll put a couple more tickets on. So you think something's transparent, it's not. All the people in the crypto NFT world say, yeah, it's all transparent. You can see it on the blockchain. I can't see how many wallets you have.
Oh.
So in the era of the main stock and pumping up, I don't know if you're selling it to yourself. That's the only thing I could say, right?
Oh, and just pumping pumping up the value by making it look like there's just huge demand for this stuff.
A sale. Now, I love the fact that I could see it on the blockchain. I don't have to ask you when this was sold and when. That's transparent. But, and I don't think it's all money laundering, and I don't think it's all pumping. but there's a lot of stuff that isn't what it says it is, right? Oh, crypto is easy. Okay, why does it take me 5 days on Coinbase to go from money to crypto? That's harder than the bank. Oh, you just got to get used to it. You got to do more of it. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of things that pretend to be what they aren't. But there are projects that are going nuts and there are projects that, you know, are fading away. I'd still rather have a physical something. But we are all hopped up on all this dopamine from not having normal human interaction. And sports betting is probably the tamest of it all.
Speaking of human interaction, I'm going to ask you a question, and I don't want you to get insulted by this. I'm asking this because you're a sports business expert, not because I think you're...
I haven't been insulted in years.
Okay, good.
I'm not sure I have the capacity to be.
Yeah, I'm relying on your sports business expertise. I'm not assuming that you're some kind of expertise in erectile dysfunction. But I had this thought last night while I was watching baseball, which is that, man... If I watch a football game on network television, I see, I'm guessing, maybe like 7 to 10 ED ads per half of football. Right. Whereas in baseball, I don't think I see any at all. Like, how is that? Why? And baseball's an older demographic. Why are the erection pills not making it to the baseball market?
I guess the average age of a baseball viewer is now 90, so maybe they're beyond that. No, I don't know. I actually don't know. It's not the height. It is definitely not the height of ED drugs. Like it used to be like even more often. And like, remember when they were throwing the ball through the tire?
Of course. Yes.
And the guy's sitting in the bath by himself on the lawn. I mean, like my favorite ED story of all time has a Texas base to it.
Oh, let's hear
it. So in 2000, maybe two, Rafael Palmeiro, his agent calls me up, Fernie Cusa, and says that Rafael has signed an endorsement deal with Viagra. And as a slightly competent reporter, my first question was, does he have the issue?
And
he says, no. And I said, well, I don't, how would that be FDA approved? Because like then if he doesn't have erectile dysfunction and he's a spokesperson and he's saying he doesn't have it. Anyway, I wrote the story that he doesn't have it. And like 30 minutes later, I got a call back that he does have it. I'm not sure if that was because he does or because he wanted to keep the deal, but I felt that that was appropriately going up and down on whether or not he had it or not.
Plus, I'm being told, by the way, that they actually haven't been doing the ED ads for the NFL the last few years. I guess you know what I'm confusing? It's those Get Roman ads that they're not specifically advertising the drug. They're saying that like you can get the drug here. We're not advertising the drug, but you can get the drug here.
Right.
There you go. Darren Revelle, the Action Network. Didn't think we were going to go to the boner pills part of the conversation today.
Yes,
to be honest.
Yes.
Hey, your words, not mine, Sean. I'm talking about just people trying to have good, meaningful relationships
there you
deep
go.
Into their lives.
There you go. Darren Revelle, the Action Network, joining us here on Sports Radio 610. You mentioned the Manning cast, Darren. A, do you like the Manning cast? And B, what is the future for alternative broadcasts like the Manning cast?
I don't know if I fully love it, but I do like the idea of it being different. And I'm not sure if it's because it's different and new or whether I really like it. I mean, I like the idea of they have been able to get relevant guests who you want to hear from. They have been able to be relaxed. Like, I couldn't believe Tom Brady's like, yeah, that guy lost all his leverage when he negotiated with the team. Like, I would think like a guy like Brady is like, normally he's got his protectors up there. Like, you know, so I think it's pretty good. You know, as long as you have the rights, it costs a lot of money to do it, but it seems like ESPN or all the networks in their fight to make sure people are actually watching things instead of looking at game casts and anything to get you live. I think it's a good move and it's been really successful.
Yeah, no, they're picking up viewers each week, and I find myself missing it. The couple of weeks it was gone, I really like it. They get guys talking when they do those interviews with them. It's almost like they forget they're on TV. It's just like they feel like they're talking to a couple of buddies, which I think is a sign of a really good interviewer. Before we get you out of here, Darren, do you got any picks? What do you think of the Texans catching 14.5 at home this weekend?
God, it is really hard to what do we got? So let's see. In the last five games,
yeah,
the Texans have covered once against New England, right? Yeah. They lost by 3.
That's right.
It was an 8-point spread. But they have not covered 3 of the last 4 weeks. They have had double-digit spreads, and they have not covered once. In fact, not even close.
Yes.
They didn't cover by 21 against Buffalo. They didn't cover by 19.5, whatever that was, 31-3, right? So that 20,
were the yep.
29,
bad boys.
Yeah. And it was 11.5,
yep.
right?
Yep, yep.
And then 31-5, so they didn't cover there. I mean, I think they're unbettable at this point.
Well, unless you like betting the other side, apparently. Like, I think the people who laid the 19 last week with Arizona would say, I think they're perfectly bet againstable right now. But you're right.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't bet that. I wouldn't bet that game. Like, yeah. I don't know. I just wouldn't bet a game involving the Texans. Now, the interesting one for me is, you know, the total 47.5. I think that, you know, that is a little bit more bettable to me there, because I think, you know, I can think of scores and I'm thinking, like, I don't know if they can put, you know, 10 on the board.
Well, recent history would suggest 10 would include
no.
a touchdown. That would be silly
right,
to
right.
think they're actually going to score a touchdown in an NFL
right,
game.
Right.
Darren Revelle, Action Network, joins us each and every week. Download the free Action Network app. Darren, we always appreciate the conversation, man. Enjoy the games this weekend.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Darren. Darren Revelle, yeah. @DarrenRevelle on Twitter, if you want to grab him there and be part of the millions that follow him on Twitter. Real quick, Seth, got to tell the people to text PICKS to 20357. This is a lot easier than picking against the spread. It's the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. Text PICKS to 20357. You're just picking winners of games, and you could win $1,000 up for grabs each week. $10,000 on the season, the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. So there you go. The poll right now that we have up for who we are going to voodoo hex tomorrow is still really, really close. As those of you okay. who listen know, I don't even know that that was our intent to voodoo hex Charlie Morton, but we read a lot of texts about reasons to hate Charlie Morton. And
yeah.
he broke his leg that same day. So people are tying that together with us somehow. So we're embracing it.
Yeah.
We're embracing it.
Yeah.
So we put a voodoo hex on Joc Pederson is who you guys picked yesterday. He struck out three yep. times last night. So
Amen.
The poll is, the four choices are Freddie Freeman, Eddie Rosario, Ian Anderson, the starting pitcher in Game 3, and Ozzie Albies. And right now, it is razor thin, the margin. Freddie Freeman still leads with 28%, but you've got Eddie Rosario and Anderson each with 23, and Ozzie Albies with 26.
One of our listeners suggested that, hey, there are three games before we'll be on air again, because we're going to do the hex tomorrow. So there will be three games before we're on air again next Monday. So maybe we'll just go ahead and pick three of those four.
The top three.
And put a hex, yeah. And I feel like for it to have validity, I think we actually need to designate which day we're putting the hex on.
Oh, for sure.
Like, obviously, Ian Anderson would be for tomorrow. I'm not going to put a hex on him on his off day. Like, I don't want him to go have a bad experience at the movies
Can
or something.
You imagine we put a hex on.
Oh, no, he shot 96 on the course.
His off day, or he sprained his ankle stepping in a pothole or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be beautiful.
This Albies character, I'm not a fan. That little dribbler down the third baseline.
Yeah.
He's a little too lucky for my liking.
He's getting a lot of junk in this series so far. I'm with you on that. Ian Rappaport just posted the play in which J.J. Watt suffered the shoulder injury that has knocked him out for the season. And
do the play-by-play for me.
Okay, I'm going to hit play on it here. All right. Davis Mills in shotgun. Watt lined up to the left. Mills drops back to pass. He's flushed out of the pocket, running to his right. J.J. Watt dives, tries to tackle him, and Mills is able to skirt out of bounds. Ooh, and it looked, Seth, like J.J. Watt landed awkwardly on that left shoulder. He's coming up a little gingerly with that left shoulder. Ah, it's J.J. Watt. He never gets hurt. I'm sure it's nothing. That's my play-by-play.
Let's see. Did he? He played the rest of the game, right?
He did.
We didn't know. We didn't have any evidence that he was like, yeah.
He did. There were people saying his snap count was less in the second half of the game.
You know, the thing about that too, and then the game was in hand as well. But the way he landed, it's kind of reminiscent of the way Baker Mayfield was injured when
JJ
injured Baker Mayfield.
Irony.
Baker Mayfield. Yeah. When you land with your arms outstretched like that, it puts a lot of stress on your shoulder. And that's a shame, man. Yeah,
that sucks. I feel bad. I legitimately feel horrible for J.J. Watt. That's terrible. All right, Seth, we are done. Antibodies to you, and I'll see you mañana at 6 a.m., my friend.
Antibodies, and I hope your shoulders stay exactly where they're supposed
they're
to
fine.
Be.
They're fine. They'll be all right, I guess. All right, we're done. In the Loop is up next. We will see you all tomorrow at 6 a.m. Keep tuned right here all day long. Trade deadline talk, Astros talk. Have a great day, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.